Good morning. Thank you, Frank, for leading us in those songs today. I'd like to welcome the visitors that we have with us. We're very glad that you came to worship with us today. We consider it an honor that you would take time out of your schedule to come to worship God with us. Dick read the scripture reading today. It was taken from this idea where Peter says, "I'll die for you." And the setting of this was, it was the night that Jesus met with his apostles for the last time. It would be the setting, the night of his arrest. Jesus had just set up what we would call the Lord's Supper. He had a meal with his apostles, and as he was breaking the bread, he told them, "This is my body, which is given for you." And he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, the new covenant that's in my blood." And I'm sure a lot of it will sink in later for them. A lot of it was kind of going over their head. And in Matthew 26, just a couple of verses after the passage that we normally read for communion, it says in verse 31, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered and said to him," of course it's going to be Peter. "Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.'" I want to pause there for just a moment. He truly believed that. He truly, in the depths of his heart, believed nothing will come between you and I, Christ. Nothing. It was Peter that had made that great confession in Caesarea Philippi when Jesus says, "Who do men say that I am?" It was Peter that recognized the idea, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was Andrew, his brother, that when it clicked with Andrew, he went and found Peter and says, "We have found him." And Peter says, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." He's making a heartfelt proclamation, a vow, a promise to Jesus. "Jesus, I won't." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the apostles, all the disciples. "Jesus, you're wrong. Not me. I'm telling you right now in front of James, John, and all of them, I won't do it, Jesus." We know how this ends up. Peter was ready to die for Jesus. He made that great statement, and he was ready. Now, after this gathering of the supper, they will sing a hymn, and Jesus will go out, and they will go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will will leave the disciples and he will take Peter, James, and John a little farther. And then he'll say, keep watch. I'm going to go over here and pray. And this is when he prays to God, a heartfelt prayer. He knows what's coming. And it was in this setting, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas will bring the crowd, the mob, to arrest Jesus. And in Matthew 26, verse 51, as the crowd's coming to arrest Jesus, it says, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword. I wonder who it could have been. Struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, I've thought a lot about this. Let me pause there. We'll come back to that in a second. In John, this just says one of those who were with Jesus. In the book of John, it mentions who? Chapter 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Get a little bit more detail there. Now, I've thought about this. Just the logistics and the body language of everything. Cut off his right ear. You know Peter, or maybe I'm reading something in that's not there. I'm just thinking of how this would have been done. Now hold on, Frank. Sit still. I'm gonna cut off your right ear. To have done that, Peter was probably either coming overhead to split the man's skull, or he was coming this way to take his head off, and he's flinching one way or the other, and it catches his ear. He wasn't surgically, I'm just going to teach him a lesson. I'm just going to take his ear off. It wasn't one of those. He's either coming overhead or going to lop the head off. And Malchus jumps, ducks, eeks something, and it takes his ear off. Well, in the meantime, Jesus picks up the ear and reattaches it and criticizes Peter, put your sword up. This is not the way to do it. But we see Peter was ready to die with Jesus. If there's going to be a fight, let it begin here. Bring it on. None of you other guys are doing anything. I said just minutes ago, I will die for you. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to die for you. I'm surprised nothing came more of this. But I guess after putting the ear back on, it kind of took some wind out of people's sails. Peter will die for Jesus 35 years later. In AD 68, it's not in the Bible, the date and so forth, but historically we know Peter did die in Rome in 68 AD, 35 years later. So Peter, when he says, I'll die for you, he wasn't lying. He even demonstrated that night, I was ready to die for you. It didn't happen. And when he did die, Historically, it is reported that he even requested to be crucified upside down, saying that he wasn't even worthy to die the way his Savior did. He was a lot more humble of a man the older he got than that young, impetuous, sword-wielding guy that he was younger. Jesus tells him how he was going to die at the end of John. In John 21, this is after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, before Jesus would ascend back into heaven. In John 21, starting in verse 18, says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." He told him how he's going to die, and follows that up with, "Follow me." Peter said, "I'll die for you, Jesus." Jesus, a little bit later, confirms, "You will die for me. Not exactly the way you're thinking, but you will years later." In fact, haven't we learned a lot of times things in life are not always as we pictured things? Things will happen, but it's not the way, if we were writing the script, they don't always turn out that way. Rather than die, I propose we need to live for him. If the opportunity and the circumstances arise, we, like Peter, like all the apostles, need to die for him. There are people today in other parts of the world and through other times of history that have to face that, that they die because of their beliefs, even to this day in other parts of the world. Christians take their lives in their own hands just by doing what we're doing today, coming together to meet as a body to worship God. And even though that's dangerous, but rather than dying for Christ, we absolutely need to live for him. The day in, day out, the grind. Dying for him is a one-time event. We could do that. But we need to live for him daily. In Romans 14, verse 8, Paul wrote, "For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die..." It took me many years to figure out those last few words. We are the Lord's. It's not my life. It's not my time. It's not my possessions. They are the Lord's. Took me a long time. I don't know how many times I would have read that verse. And I missed those last few words. Misunderstand, it's not my life. I hear people say, "Well, what I do on my time." It's not my time. It's the Lord's time that he's given me. It's not my life. We are the Lord's. And we should try to live to the best of our ability to live for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul wrote, "And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." If we really take that to heart and realize the importance of that, that he died for us, he bought us. Our lives have been purchased at a very high cost. But for him who died for them and rose again, that's who we will live for. We should live no longer for ourselves, but for him. Colossians 3:17 and verse 23. Verse 17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And then skipping down a couple of verses to verse 23. "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Not just take a halfway stab at getting something done, but do it heartily. And make sure that the reason we're doing it, not like Jesus says, to be seen by men, but to do it for the Lord. If we do die, it should be to that old self. When we come up out of the waters of baptism, we're a new creature, a new life. The old man, we left. But you know what? I spend a lot of time trying to drag that old person with me through life. That old, comfortable friend of mine, me, that I can revert back to. Paul says we should die to that old self. But we drag him along. Give him resuscitation whenever we need. We should die to him. Leave him. Leave him in the grave where they were. Two scriptures, then the lesson's yours. Colossians 3:5, Paul says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth." Put them to death. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, similar to the Romans, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And isn't that eternal life, that spiritual life, that's what we're shooting for. That's what we're aiming for. Peter claimed, "I'll die for you, Jesus." Let's us claim, "I'll live for you, Jesus." We're at the beginning of a brand new week. Last week of school, kids. Last week of school. We put that behind us. Okay? Another one in the books. But we're at the beginning of a new week this week. Let's make it a point in everything we do, in word and in deed, to live for Jesus. You've got your outline. You might want to reread some of those passages this week. If we can be of service to you, we never like to end a worship assembly without offering the invitation to anybody that may need prayers, the opportunity to be baptized, opportunity for repentance, whatever your need, please come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.